Welcome to Smash to Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2019's Fire Emblem Three Houses.
I wonder if we should just start saying 2019's Pokemon Sword and Shield, because let's be honest.
Not until it's confirmed. Anyways, today's game is representing fighter number 74. It is the 1995 Neo Geo game, The King of Fighters 95. A fighting game.
It's a good fighting game.
It is a really good fighting game. I had a very good time playing this game. So, I think the most interesting part that I was looking forward to was trying to see, like, alright, so there were 4 years between the release of this and the release of Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter 2 came out in 91. We've already done an episode on that. And then 95 rolls around and you get the King of Fighters 95. It's one of the first crossover fighters in the world.
Yeah.
Not like King of Fighters 95, like the King of Fighters series.
Was it the first one?
King of Fighters 94, I believe, would have been the first one. Though there might have been one before that. The King of Fighters, specifically, is the first.
But, like, so King of Fighters was, like, the first crossover fighter?
I'm pretty sure, yes, because it was basically, it was characters from a bunch of SNK games, including Fatal Fury, which is who Terry is from originally. Yeah, Art of Fighting, Ikari Warriors, Psycho Soldier. I believe there's others, but I can't. No, I think those are the only ones for now. But, like, yeah, it's, if not the first, it is among the first crossover fighters to ever be made. Which, I mean, makes it especially interesting when comparing it to Smash, the mother of all crossover fighters.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, in a way, like, we didn't play the right game because Terry is from Fatal Fury, not from King of Fighters. But it's like, it just kind of makes sense. They go together.
In a way, I think at this point, Terry is kind of like representative of both. Because, I mean, think of it this way. In Smash, his stage is the King of Fighters arena, even though he is listed as a Fatal Fury character.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. This game also, like, has a bunch of other shit that would go into being in Smash, like spot dodging, which I never figured out. I knew how to do it, but I could never get it to work because I'm bad at fighting games.
I had no idea how to do it when we played 95, but I did pick up a 14. And I was playing that a little bit the other day, and it's much easier to do in 14 because there's more buttons. So they just put some dedicated buttons for certain things.
That sounds about right.
That is a fairly unique thing to King of Fighters that Sakurai later adapted to Smash, that, like, fighting, even today, fighting games don't really have spot dodges like that. They very rarely have something that just lets you avoid all damage.
Yeah, and it's crazy interesting, honestly. So here's what I want to do. I've talked in the past about how this is a genre that I feel woefully under-equipped to talk about. And we wanted to do what we did for Street Fighter, where we went and grabbed a top 8 and we watched it. One problem. This game, I don't think, got big enough or is still big enough to have top 8s that you can just go find on YouTube. Which kind of sucks. Everything I found was like exhibition matches against two players in Fightcade, and that's literally it. That's all it was. So that's unfortunate. 14 probably would have had something. I do want to hear, like, so you have been playing 14 a little bit, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It's very similar. It's not like Smash, where they just redid the entire base groundwork of the franchise as time went on. King of Fighters 14 plays very much like King of Fighters 95, to the point that, hey, a lot of, like, the crazy stupid command inputs that SNK goes with are identical.
Hmm.
And boy howdy, SNK sure loves their insane command inputs. Because did you ever look at the move lists for King of Fighters?
I did not. I know you did, which became evident when you started, like, knowing how to play the game, and then I don't think I won any matches after that.
It's like, I'm pretty sure there was one that was like quarter circle forward and then down left, down left. Like, it's stupid.
I know that this series is famous for its, what I've heard referred to as pretzel motions. And yep. I don't know what that means, but the mere word pretzel, when put into the context of a fighting game input, gives me anxiety.
Like, imagine tracing a pretzel. Like, you know how it, like, folds in on itself? And, mm-hmm. like, if you were to put a line through a pretzel, through the center of a pretzel, and just, like, cross through the whole thing, like, you'd go, like, back and forth in these crazy loops. Doing that is how it feels to do command inputs in King of Fighters.
And that's why I'll never be good at King of Fighters. Because make no mistake, you can go watch the video right now. It's on our YouTube channel. And see that I was just flailing. And I was trying to figure out inputs. Just, I was doing like quarter circle forwards whenever I could figure it out. I think I figured out a couple of other inputs for some characters. But, I don't know, man. I know we both seemed to gravitate towards the same team at first because, of course, that's the team I'm going to fucking play. But then, like, they were actually the most fun characters. I guess I should explain when I say team. I kind of went into it. I was right during the last episode. I wasn't 100%. But yes, I was correct. King of Fighters is a 3-on-3 fighting game. But it's not a tag fighter, which is what you assumed last week, because why wouldn't you assume that? That's how Marvel works. That's how a bunch of other fighters that are more than one versus one work all the time. But no, it's you pick a team of three, and then once that character's down, they're down, and you move on to the next character, and it ends when one of the teams has lost all of its members. And I didn't know there were going to be assists, too. There are assists, but they're, like, really involved assists in a way. Like,
yeah, like they have to be physically on screen, and then you need to be, like, do a certain input when you're grabbed, which I do not think stuck around in the series. I don't think that that's in 14.
Like, I don't know. I can't imagine why. Might be because it's a really weird way to do assists. I don't know. Assists feel kind of pointless if, like, you have to have brought them over to your side of the screen in order to use them at all.
I think it's a balancing factor, because generally, if you're getting pushed backwards, which was, like, that's the direction that they were in. They were behind your starting position. So mm-hmm. if you're getting pushed backwards, you're probably getting pretty messed up.
That's true. You know, that's fair.
Unless you happen to swap around and face the other direction.
Yeah, and then you're just sort of screwed. When I say that we both gravitated towards the same team, it's all about women's team, baby. It's all about women's team.
Well, they were more just like they were the team that, like, when I was playing them, that's when I decided, okay, we're breaking out the move list.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, in 14, they are not on the same team together anymore. They were split up.
I mean, from what people were telling us during the stream, that makes sense, because one of them is from Art of Fighting, one of them is from Fatal Fury, and I think one of them was from, I think two of them were from Art of Fighting. I'm not actually sure. I would have to look it up. In fact, I'm going to. But the whole thing was that they just didn't have anywhere else to go, and so I guess the devs were like, they're the women's team. But jokes on them, that's the coolest team, because one, my Shiranui is on that team, and God, I wish she could show up in Smash, but Smash is for good boys and girls, and so she can't.
Of all ages, people always, like, leave out, that's the critical part of that quote.
And she's far too horny to show up in Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, Yuri Sakazaki, who is from Art of Fighting, and, of course, the most important one, you have King, which I guess, is she from? Yeah, she's from Art of Fighting as well. So it's everybody on that team is from Art of Fighting except for Mai, who is from Fatal Fury. And, yeah, they're the coolest team. King is awesome. Mai is a lot of fun to play, and Yuri is highly disrespectful to all her opponents.
Yes, that doesn't change.
Good. I'm fucking glad.
In fact, her taunt, they actually made that part of her super in 14.
Nice. Good. Man, I should probably play 14, but money.
It's on sale right the hell now.
I might buy King of Fighters 14. I like these characters. These characters are strong. Like, character design in this series is fucking strong. And I already knew that because of the Smash stage.
Yeah, no, they are all really cool. And it only gets better from here.
How much did you play Terry?
In 95, not a lot. I did end up playing him more in 14, where I played through the whole story mode with him. Yeah, he's the same in Smash.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is like, how well did, like, Smash knowledge translate into King of Fighters?
So, like, I'm pretty sure that, well, so it's not one-to-one, because a lot of his command inputs were simplified into, like, tilts and aerial attacks in Smash. But, like, first of all of his voice lines in Smash appear to be archive footage from 14.
That sounds about right.
And if you had told me that his animations were too, I might believe that, because they're dead on.
Yeah, but also he looks better in Smash than he does in 14.
Well, yes.
14's art style is not the best. I don't think it's as ugly as people were making it out to be when that game was first released.
It's just a noticeable step down from the King of Fighters standard of quality.
It's a step down from 13, which is famous for having some of the best sprite work in fighting game history.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was.
When the franchise is, like, barely making money, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the thing that sucks. Like, King of Fighters, is like, it's not a premier franchise nowadays, and it deserves to be.
Well, I mean, Smash might fix that.
I hope so.
To be perfectly honest, Smash has a way of doing that. I mean, look at Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem would not be nearly as big as it is without Smash, I don't think.
Yeah.
Not in the West. In Japan, it was already big, but like, yeah, like it probably wouldn't be here at all if not for Smash.
God, King of Fighters just really deserves better than what it's got right now.
And that's an unfortunate thing, but you can see a through line from point A to point B, which is SNK stuck around in arcades and continued focusing on the arcade market until recently.
Yes, well, arcades are still pretty big in Japan to this day.
For a while, they also moved into pachinko, like really, really hard.
So that's like, that is actually very interesting. SNK, they went the Konami route. They completely abandoned video games and went full on pachinko. And then the strangest thing in the world, they came back.
They came back literally within a week of Konami announcing they were going to pachinko.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
If you don't know the story about that, I recommend a video from Super Bunny Hop about this exact topic. I forget the title, but if you just search Super Bunny Hop SNK Pachinko, you should probably find it. Mm-hmm. Where like he discusses the exact reasons why. And I won't spoil the video, but it's very interesting to see the real world politics of why this happened.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I remember that video. I forgot about that, actually. Yeah. And so I think that's the unfortunate reason why King of Fighters isn't like Street Fighter, because it didn't jump to consoles, I don't think. I think, yeah. 13 was on consoles, but their main focus was arcade, as far as I am aware. And like you said, yes, arcades are still really big in Japan, but Japan is only so big of a market.
And I mean, to some extent, it's really the only market that some Japanese companies need.
Yeah.
But to compete on the fighting game world stage, you need Evo. Right, nowadays, you need Evo.
And 14 was at Evo for a while.
Yes, well, that was of course after their comeback.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but hey, maybe Evo will happen this year and Terry will show up at Evo. Just kidding, Evo's probably not happening this year.
Yeah. We're dating ourselves a little bit, but not a lot's happening this year.
Yeah, there's a good amount of stuff that's just canceled, and Evo's not canceled yet at time of recording. I want this on the record, but it's probably not happening.
it's, quote, not canceled in the way that Disney World is reopening in April.
Yeah.
Which is to say, it's not.
It's not. This could be over by July. We don't know. Probably not.
No.
That's all we'll say on that.
But hey, next year, I think another King of Fighters is supposed to come out soon, right?
King of Fighters 15 is supposed to come out this year, but as far as I'm aware...
Probably getting delayed.
As far as I'm aware, we haven't even seen gameplay of the King of Fighters 15.
Okay, well, that's not that big a deal.
SNK's basically just said, yeah, we're working on it, and that's literally all that has happened as far as I am aware. They've said, yeah, we're working on it, and it's coming out in 2020.
Nowadays, video games are kept pretty close to the chest. I would not say that that is concerning in itself. What is concerning, a lot of things are going to get delayed this year. King of Fighters will probably be one of them.
I personally don't think King of Fighters was ever actually going to come out this year anyways. I mean, unless they were going to announce something at Evo, I don't know.
Before we like move on to like other topics, something else cool about King of Fighters, in King of Fighters 14... with the online play, you can get a lobby of 6 people going to do a real 3v3.
Oh, nice. That's super rad, actually.
It would be so cool if we didn't live in our modern world of being aware of how shitty delay-based netcode is.
Yeah.
Our friend Zero, who was part of the stream with us, talking to us about SNK and the history of all that, he has the game. Me and him hopped online. His internet's not the best. And it was unplayable. Absolutely. Did not work at all. Could not do it.
Well, they did put rollback in the re-release of Garo.
Yeah, that's kind of insane. So
they obviously know.
That's like, what the hell happened there?
So either SNK knows or the people that were working on that remaster know. Either way.
So I think King of Fighters 15... when it eventually comes out, will have rollback. Because that's just, you know, that's where we are right now. Street Fighter's getting a ton of shit for its netcode. Guilty Gear just confirmed that they're going to have rollback, which presumably, if Guilty Gear is going to have it, Arxis is going to do rollback from now on. So that's just, it's finally becoming the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that King of Fighters 15 will have rollback.
And what we played on had rollback, didn't it?
Yes, Fightcade has rollback.
Yeah.
Because did you notice a single dropped frame?
Not really. It felt perfectly fine to me playing both you and our friend Curb. I never had a problem.
Yeah, rollback can have problems if your connection is just exceptionally bad. But, like, it needs to be real bad for it to become unplayable.
But other than women's team, did any team kind of stand out to you personally?
Not in particular. The one guy that was like the sort of drunk style fighting was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the Fatal Fury team in my time with King of Fighters 14, they were pretty good, especially Joe Higashi. Joe Higashi in 14 is like kind of insane. But I don't really remember anyone outside the women's team too much. And in 14, the only people that I've experimented with right now are the Fatal Fury team and the former women's team. I put them back together.
I kind of like Korea team, only because of their designs. like, that's where the Freddy Krueger dude is.
Yeah.
Or the big guy with the ball and chain. Apparently, their backstory is that the guy in charge, who is from Fatal Fury 2, apparently, went to the Korean government and was like, hey, I got an idea for a rehabilitation project. What if we took these two criminals and put them in this fighting tournament on my team? And the Korean government was like, yeah, man, that sounds cool. Let's do it.
I don't know about that.
So I had seen the Freddy Krueger motherfucker. His name is Choi Byung-ge. There we go. That's how you pronounce it. Thank you, Wikipedia. I had seen him in the background of the Smash stage, so I knew who he was, sort of. And so I gravitated towards them at some point. I think the other guy that I really liked, his name was Kyo?
Kyo is like the main character of King of Fighters, I think.
Yeah, I had a good time playing him. I believe by the time I was making custom teams, my go-to was Kyo, Mai, and Choi.
Okay, yeah, Kyo Kusanagi is the main character of King of Fighters. He is from King of Fighters.
Interesting. But yeah, I enjoyed him. He was fun. And yeah, honestly, nobody else is really striking my brain off the top of my head. But like, no, King of Fighters 95, really fun. Like, really, even... So here's the thing. While Street Fighter 2 is fascinating from a historical standpoint, when you're not good at Street Fighter 2, it's not super fun to play. But King of Fighters 95, despite the fact that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, honestly still had a really good time.
I don't necessarily see the difference, I think, in that regard. But I also, like, am a little more proficient with fighting games.
I think it was just 4 years of making it work a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that's true. Even then, it wasn't, like, perfect as far as being, like, being beginner-friendly. Like, the opportunity windows for the command inputs are a lot easier in later games, for example.
Yeah, and also, like, just you described earlier the crazy inputs that you need to figure out.
Yeah, pretzel inputs are nuts.
I wouldn't call it accessible, but I felt like I was able to accidentally do more cool shit than I was in Street Fighter 2. And in the end of the day, what more do you need? The answer is skill. I don't have any of that. Well, you know what else is extremely good about this game, honestly? The soundtrack is actually quite good, though I'll admit the sound font is a little bit rough at certain points.
Yes. I don't think it does the music any justice.
Yeah, but overall, like, in terms of being, you know, arcade music in 1995, I think it does serviceably, I suppose.
Also, something that I like is that overall this soundtrack has more of an easy listening feel to it. Like, fighting games kind of tend to go towards more of a harder sound, like a more up-tempo rock sound. And this, like, the soundtrack is, like, there's some straight-up jazz pieces in here.
Yeah. Speaking of, I guess that gives me actually a really great segue into my favorite track in the game, actually, being Stormy Saxophone, the American Factory Stage music. Song's really, really good. As the name might imply, it's jazzy.
Yeah,
but I really dig this song.
For a similar reason, I'm a big fan of the Swingin' Boys Hearts, the American Fighting Stage theme. Like, it's got this sort of driving bass sound, and it's, like, it's driven by that bass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, like, sort of a tense feeling to it as well. I really dig it.
Yeah, it does have that super tense, like, it's the, I think it's the intro mostly that does the tense part.
Yeah.
But, you know, this kind of reminds me of, that song kind of reminds me of something I'd hear in, like, Persona 3 almost. A little bit. I think it's the piano part. Another song I like that's not really jazzy, but is still really good, is Senritsu no Dora, or The China Stage.
Kind of weird about this song, because it's like, yeah, that's the China sound for a lot of it.
I think they do pretty well with it, though. Like, it's a pretty jamming song, and I mean, that's just what fighting games were back there, man.
Yes,
you had the China stage and it sounded like this, and that's how it was.
That's yeah,
because I'm pretty sure Street Fighter had like Chun-Li's theme. This sounds very similar to Chun-Li's theme, all things considered.
Another good song is Funky Asaka, the Japan stage song.
Funky is right.
Yeah. Well, so there's also, like, near the beginning of the song, like, in the left sound channel, there's, like, it's a voice. I don't know what it's saying.
Well, yeah, one of the things this soundtrack seems to be doing in a lot of songs, actually, if you listen to them, is there it's using use of, like, samples of what sounds like air traffic control radio chatter.
This one sounds like police chatter.
It might be. I don't know.
Like, I think I hear the words, be advised, suspect, something or other. I'm pretty sure I hear that in there.
Beautiful.
I don't know. It's some weird ASMR police chatter.
I also really, really like, because we heard this the most, I think, because we played it. We played on women's team a lot, and this is King's stage, basically. Base crawling on the grounds, or the England stage.
See, the voice samples on this one. Now, this is special. Yeah.
I don't know what the voice sample on this one's supposed to be saying at all.
Do you know what the voice samples on any of them are supposed to be saying? Let's be honest.
God, no. God, no, I don't. I don't have that amount of good ear. Nailed it.
It probably doesn't help that there's probably a heavy Japanese accent on whatever they're saying, probably in English.
Oh, probably. Unless it's a sample that he just went, that the composer went and got.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be either way. I only got one more that I want to shout out. I like Ryo, the Korea stage. The bell part is just really cool. Just that alone really makes this stage music super good.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's depth to that sound sample that you don't hear in like older 32-bit, 16-bit music like this.
Mm-hmm. I think overall, I guess we didn't hear it in game because we didn't really mess with any of the arcade mode because, hey, guess what? The computers kicked our ass the few times we tried to do anything against the computer. But if you've ever given a listen to Hal, Bass, and Melody, which is the final boss stage one music, it's really good. It's a really good song. It's rocking, it's tense, and it's telling you that shit's going down and it's time to go, baby.
Yeah.
And that's really all I have in terms of the soundtrack and in terms of King of Fighters. Maybe one of these days we'll do like a bonus episode about 14, just if we get a chance.
What we should do is a bonus episode on Days of Memories.
I don't know what that is.
That is the dating game based on SNK characters.
Why do that when we could play the King of Fighters for girls?
No, see, you gotta you gotta see this.
I didn't know there was more than one dating sim. I don't know why this is surprising to me.
No, Days of Memory is like a long-running series at this point. Look at that Terry ending.
Oh my god, I want that. I want Terry to cover me with his jacket and his large muscles. I want this. I want this in my life.
There are others, of course.
Is one of them, who would... I'm assuming it's all the male characters, because this is obviously an Otome game, but...
Well, no, it's a long-running series.
Is there one where I can date my Shiranui?
I think there is.
There better be. Is there one where I can swear fealty to King?
Probably.
Because if there's not, hey, SNK... I will make this game. Just send me a little bit of money. I got this. I know how to use Rempy and Unity. I can make either one.
Here's my one of her illustrations. here's a flashback scene, I assume.
Well, yeah, it has to be a flashback scene. Her assets aren't nearly as developed. I'm going to stop this conversation now forever before we go too far. But yeah, King of Fighters, super cool. We should, hey, legit, I assume that you're half joking, but only half. Let's do a bonus episode on this one of these days.
Yeah, but no, 14's good.
No, not 14. On the dating
Oh, on Days of Memory.
But no, legit, 14, we should probably do a, sometime in the future, do a bonus episode on 14, because we already have one bonus episode planned, but who the hell knows when that's gonna happen.
Oh, Geese Howard is one of the characters that you could date in Days of Memories.
Anyways, it's time to move on to our next game, which is representing fighter number 31, Snake. Man, from 74 to 31. It is the 1998 PlayStation 1 game. I believe the last PS1 game, I think. Yeah, this is the last PS1 game. It is the 1998 PlayStation 1 game, Metal Gear Solid.
Don't worry, I am here to solve the long-standing debate over whether or not the original or Twin Snakes is better. I, the ultimate authority, will decide this.
Yeah, sure, whatever helps you sleep at night, bud. So... here's how this is going to go. I am playing Twin Snakes because that is the version that I own and the version that I can stream.
So I am going to be playing both. I likely will not be able to stream the original Metal Gear Solid because I have that on PS3. And I don't know if you guys know about streaming PS3, but it sucks.
I own it on PS3 as well, but I don't have time to play both. I mean, technically, neither of us have time to play both, but I don't have the energy to play both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will not be doing that. I've never played the original, but I don't have a huge amount of, like, interest, weirdly enough. One day I will, because, I mean, it came with the Legacy Collection. I have access to it. I might as well at some point, but probably not for this show. I am going to specifically play Twin Snakes.
So I have only played the original before. And based on what I've read, I don't think I would like Twin Snakes as much. I think the changes to the cutscenes and stuff are stupid. And I think that the gameplay is affected too much by the fact that they added in first-person view without changing the level design to compensate.
I would not have any counters towards this. I do think that people that talk about the cutscene changes are crazy, personally, but who knows? Like, I haven't played the original, so I don't really have a method of comparing. That's actually the thing I'm most excited for this episode, is hearing your comparison between the two, because I'm actually very interested in how that is going to go, personally.
Generally, from what I understand, is that the Twin Snakes version is directed like more of an action movie. There's a lot more ridiculous stuff going on.
I think Twin Snakes is, as far as I'm aware, basically, what if Metal Gear Solid 1 was made after Metal Gear Solid 2 with that Kojima? And it shows, because Metal Gear Solid 2 is about when, is exactly when Metal Gear Solid starts going off the rails, and then don't even fucking get me started on Metal Gear Solid 3, which is when the pain shows up and throws bees at you.
That's when the rails went off the rails.
And then Metal Gear Solid 4 is when the rails ceased to exist.
I still never finished 4.
I have played every game in the Metal Gear series except for Portable Ops and Peace Walker. Because guess what? I've never had a method of playing Portable Ops, and I'm not going to go find one. And Peace Walker sucks.
I've never tried it.
It's not good.
But Peace Walker is one of those Kingdom Hearts situations where it's like, it's not a numbered main series game. But also, if you don't play it, fuck you. You're not going to understand the story in the next game.
If you don't play it, you will miss a bunch of shit. Like, playing Peace Walker is vitally important to understanding some of the shit in 5. It's insane.
It's stupid.
But yeah, Peace Walker is bad. It's a bad game. My personal favorite is 3. I wish we were playing 3 for this, but, I mean, it couldn't be anything but Metal Gear Solid. Like, this is the one.
You can make a case for 2, but also, like, we're not gonna play 2 without playing 1.
Well, A, we're not gonna play 2 without playing 1, and B, you don't play a Snake in 2. Well, you do, but for, like, an hour.
Snake is still very important to 2.
He is, but, like, the Smash stage is Shadow Moses. Most of the music in his main theme in the game is Encounter, which is the song you're hearing right now. His looks more like a weird amalgamation of
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, pretty much. Or it's more of an amalgamation of 2 and 3, which is weird because 3 is a different character, technically. Man, Metal Gear's a fucking trip. Maybe one of these days we'll play more Metal Gears for bonus episodes. Who knows? I'd be down with that. I haven't replayed 2 since the first time I played it. And I really should. I'm pretty sure it and 4 are the only two I haven't replayed at all.
I have not played 2 since the first time I played 1.
So, I have replayed 1 exactly one time. But it was years ago. So I'm very much looking forward to this. These streams are going to be weird, by the way. If you have never played a Metal Gear Solid game, you have probably heard one special thing about Metal Gear Solid, and that is cutscenes are long as hell, yo! They're long as shit! And most of these streams are going to be spent watching cutscenes, I guarantee it.
Also, if I do manage to find a way to stream the PS3 version of the original, that is the only one I'm going to stream, because we don't need, like, you're going to get Twin Snakes from Joe.
Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out. But that's really all that I got. I'm looking forward to replaying this game. It's a great game. Metal Gear Solid is... We have entered 1998, which is, funnily enough, despite the fact that we are only playing 2 games from it, 98 is generally considered one of the... among the best years in video game history. In terms of releases,
there's also a video from one Mark Brown of Game Maker's Toolkit, another YouTuber I'm a big fan of, who has a video titled 1998: The Year Stealth Games Got Serious.
Mm-hmm. Because, did Splinter Cell come out the same year?
I'm not certain. It's been a while since I watched that video.
I don't remember. But, 98 had our next game, which is Ocarina of Time. It had Half-Life. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. And with that, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all at Smashterpieces. You can find me on Twitter at TheDeBaga. You can find Matt at GrimaceDoMenace. You can find me on Twitch at DetectiveDeBaga, twitch.tv/DetectiveDeBaga. You can find Matt at twitch.tv/GrimaceTheMenace. You can find, I believe I'm the one that will be streaming on NWR for this, because I have a real ass physical copy of Twin Snakes, which I found and bought for $10. That game's rare as shit. I'm lucky. So I will be streaming over at twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport. You can also find our editor. He edits about 98% of the episodes. That's over at Pete Speakeasy. So go and give Peter a cool follow. And other than that, that's basically all we got. So with that, I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And we will see you next time for our discussion on Metal Gear Solid.